Have you ever heard someone said, "Do not judge if you are not a judge"? But have you searched if there is biblical truth in that statement? Well, together let us read meditatively what it narrated in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Our Lord could have easily advised to the brothers, "Decide for yourselves in brotherly way." But he did not. He did not tell them that. Why? Because the Lord Jesus knows that even siblings, they have problems and being harmonious, a problem agreeing harmoniously when it comes to inheritance. Additionally, he also implied that there are appointed authorities who may settle trivial or civil disputes legally. The man may have been thinking, "Oh, I would be freed from attorney's fee if the Lord would decide it for us." I don't know if that would come to his mind. The Lord has instructed also in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged." Unless, of course, you are legally mandated to execute judgment, the Lord commanded us not to judge others, because that command means it's our human instinct, natural instinct to judge others. Human instinct to judge. But the Lord forbids us because it's not acceptable. So when others are judging others, do not be surprised, because it's natural to humans to judge. If it is not natural to human to judge, then the Lord should not have given that command not to judge. Why? Humans are biased. We are biased according to our preferences. Even if there are, say, legal laws, we still have biases. Even judges, they would interpret the law according to their preference. We favor things we prefer, things that may excite us, that may favor us, that we like. In obedience to the Lord's command not to judge, it is actually favorable to us. It benefits us. Why? Others will not judge us. Maybe, I don't know. But it says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged." So when we stop judging others, then we don't worry about being judged. We seek the help of the Lord to obey this command of the Lord. Seriously, let's reflect on John 16, 13 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make you known to you. Now, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "He is the way that Lord." Well, sorry for that. I missed that verse 15. Let's read again. "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." The Lord Jesus, what he says is truth, because he said, "I am the truth." His Spirit guides us into truth, all truth. That is, if we trust him, that is, if we depend on him. Jesus is the way to the truth, truth of eternal life. This eternal life is this life limited in heaven, or does it also include practical life, our life here on earth, life favorable to anyone who confidently relies upon Him. What do you think? It also testifies of faith in Christ when everything we do, we bring glory to the Lord until now, until forever. So pray that the peace of God prevails among us instead of dispute. Let's read again verse 1 of our passage. If any of you has a dispute with another, do not dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people. Do not dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment. Dispute may happen in large church. They are not secretive. The media will publish, this church, big church, has disputes. Now maybe the Lord prevents some churches from becoming so popular so that the media may ignore them. If a church dispute headlines that news, it's headline the news, people who do not believe in God can be confused. Why? Because they expect harmony in the church. They expect church people to exemplify the life of Christ. They expect us not to have dispute. Yet church dispute was challenging concern in the first century until this generation. If church dispute is about doctrinal belief, biblical reality, it is best to resolve internally in the church. But there are also practical concerns that could legally affect church attendees. That Apostle Paul rebuked the church in Corinth, told them, don't you dare, not judge, do not charge each other in a secular court. The church should settle church dispute internally. But for example, if church attendees have dispute, they have quarrel about finances, should the church settle disputes about private matters? If two members are disputing about money, I don't know. Let's reflect on what it advises us in James 1, chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Wisdom, godly wisdom, from the Lord is free. He will give it without finding fault. He will not say, oh, you do not believe me. He would not say, oh, you did not ask for forgiveness of your sin. When we ask wisdom, we ask actually for the Holy Spirit to prevail in us. We ask for Jesus Christ to reign in us. That is what we ask. So when we ask the Lord to reign in us, we get wisdom. So when we want Christ to prevail in us, we are asking, we don't want to sin against the Lord. So even before we ask for wisdom, the Lord had already generated in us that sense of asking Him to forgive us, even before we ask for wisdom. Because coming to the Lord, it's the Lord's work in our life. Godly wisdom helps us settle private problems or church-related issues. By faith, we trust godly wisdom to help us decide the best for everyone involved, not just for us, but for everyone involved. Imagine this. In the Old Testament, it says, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had a dream, disturbing dream. And he asked the magicians, the wise men in Egypt, interpret this dream for me. And they did not. But someone, the cupbearer, said, now I remember, there's this prisoner who interpreted our dream, the baker and me. And it happened as he interpreted. Now I forgot that. There's that Hebrew named Joseph in the prison, in jail. And they brought Joseph before Pharaoh. Told him there will be famine in the next few years. There will be abundance and there will be famine. He advised him, prepare for that famine, because that famine will forget the abundance that you will be having in the next few years. If you were Pharaoh, will you trust what a prisoner say, how a prisoner interpret your dream? A prisoner you never met before, a prisoner not even an Egyptian, a Hebrew. Will you assign that former prisoner to govern your country? Yet that was exactly what happened to Joseph. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 38 to 40, let's read this narrative. Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your order. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Wow. The God who gave Joseph proper interpretation to Pharaoh's dream, can you accept that it's God himself who gave wisdom to Pharaoh and acknowledge that the Spirit of God is with Joseph, and that Pharaoh assigned Joseph to be the prime minister of Egypt? God himself made Pharaoh look forward and have high hopes, great hope, that Joseph will be able to govern the entire country of Egypt. If God gave right decision to Pharaoh, we trust God that he gives us godly wisdom to decide individually and as a church. Agree? Together, let's seriously meditate on James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemaker who sow in peace, reap a harvest of righteousness. That is how we know that we already have received wisdom, when we sense it, there's pure, there's this peace-loving wisdom, when we decide it's for the peace for everyone, being considerate, being submissive. That's something else, right? Being submissive is something that in this generation it's not promoting. They would rather fight for the right than being submissive. But even the Bible says, you slaves, submit to your masters. Those who are not slaves, they are the ones really fighting for the right. That's not godly wisdom. Full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Sadly, we cannot always prevent when confused individuals may behave otherwise. But personally, we should aim for harmony among us. That's godly wisdom. Let us regularly pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. When the Holy Spirit produces joyful peace in us, we can expect that our decisions will bring glory to the Lord. Amen. Let's read again verse 2 and 3 of our passage. Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more things of this life? That is something wonderful. When we are to judge angels, can you imagine that the Lord has chosen each of us? Judging angels. Of course, not the angels who are obedient to the Lord, but angels who disobey the Lord. Previously, we are advised not to judge those who are outside the church. That's our sermon last Sunday. Yet, we are informed that at proper time will come, when the proper time will come, we judge the world. What does that imply? What does it imply? Expect that the Lord signals the perfect time for believers to judge the world, even angels. There will be time for that, but not now. At present, we live in this mortal body. Our physical and intellectual abilities, it's very limited. Sinful tendency can influence biased judgment. We may favor what we prefer. We can be prejudiced. What we do not like or what we like, we don't know what the future brings. We should work as if we work for the Lord. We think of that person, oh, that person is very lanky or something. He may not come into something. So they bully that lanky. You know that Canadian MMA fighter, St. George? Accordingly, he was bullied when he was very young. When he became popular, became world champion, at one time he was driving. And the person who bullied him begging for alms. And he recognized him. He recognized the person who bullied him, whom he bullied. He was very scared. He was very scared because St. George is very strong, very good, world champion. And sometimes we are like that. We look at people, we think that this person is nothing because of physical appearance maybe, or how we look at that person, or how we perceive ourselves in comparison to the person. Sometimes we don't know that the person beside us or the person we are working with is our boss. Have you ever liked the show Undercover Boss? I hope you do not have your undercover boss coming to you, catching you, not doing what is right. The show features an owner who pretends to be an ordinary applicant. He worked at a particular branch that they have not known him as the company owner. Or for example, a restaurant that he owns. He could go and apply there as ordinary waiter. And if he applied as waiter, he does the work of a waiter, but observes all employees. And at the end of the show, the undercover boss would reveal himself, his true identity to the employees. Just imagine employees who may mistreated that undercover boss. But for those who did their best, be friendly or caring to the undercover boss, or they did their best, he rewards and compensates employees who perform diligently. That TV show practically illustrates how God may compensate kindness in goodness. Even when nobody is looking, we do our best, but the Lord is looking at us. He just wait for the right time, proper time to compensate or to reward us of the goodness and kindness we do. What do you think? It is very advisable to attentively reflect on Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Let's read. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And how do you personally interpret what it suggested in Hebrews 1, verse 14? Are not all angels ministering spirit sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? The Lord sends angels to minister to us. You do not know when. Be prayerful. The person who would be approaching you might be the angels sent by God to help you, to bless you. Have you ever seen angels? Can you recognize angels? It is advisable to show kindness, goodness to everyone. We don't know when the Lord sends His angels to help us. They may simulate individuals who we don't necessarily expect. And why are you staring at me like that? Do you think this face is face of angel? Just kidding. Anyway, pray that the Lord will keep us from prejudice and favoritism. We have that, prejudice and favoritism. It is common for anyone. It's common for us to favor celebrities, disregard infamous, ordinary individuals. Therefore, if you have disputes, let's read verse 4 of our passage. Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? The term scorned is translated disregard or ignore or despise. When church dispute is about doctrines and beliefs, we consult the scripture and not what secular court decides. Would that suggest that the church scorn, disregard what outsiders say about our belief? We don't totally reject or disregard the government. We also want to testify that we are citizens of good standing. We are advised in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5-6, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Sometimes we may not agree to everything the government do or say, but we also want to exemplify that we are responsible citizens of good standing. For example, during the pandemic, we abide by the advisory issued by the government. You've heard of reports that some group of Christians may have disregarded advisory from the government, but for us, we chose to abide. Was it biblical, unbiblical to follow government advisory about health? Is it? Since there's no literal instruction to disregard advisory about pandemic, the Bible did not say disregard your government about the pandemic. It did not say here. So we choose to be responsible citizens, not to be inconvenient to others. Actually, when you travel abroad, it becomes more convenient practically if you are carrying your government-issued vaccination immunization certificates, right? The Lord Jesus Himself did not agree with everything the government may have implemented during His time on earth. He did not even argue when he was falsely accused. He endured persecution. He endured torture. He could have easily evaded, escaped, but he did not. Yet, despite enduring the suffering he went through, he willingly obeyed God the Father, even to his death on the cross. If Christ fought for his right, I'll fight for my right if he did that. And resisted those who accused him, those who tortured him. He saved himself, but we are lost. Can you believe that any circumstance that God allows us to encounter is designed for our betterment, even it doesn't matter if we agree or disagree. Do you believe your situation now, it's designed for your betterment? This is a question many people would ask. If you were to live again in your life, would you prefer another way? But many people would say, no, I still want to go through those hardships that I went through and be this person I am today. Let's reflect on what the Lord instructed in Luke 21, verse 13 to 19. And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, and sisters, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Have you ever experienced when a person you trusted the person, you expected to defend you. It's the very person who betrayed you. The Lord prophesied such unpleasant situation may happen to believers. We've got to resolve in our hearts not to worry of our situation, but have firm confidence in the great plan of God for us. That is faith. Faith, you believe that God has great plan for you and you prefer to follow his instructions. And speaking of God's plan for our church, the Board of Trustees prayed, planned for probable ministries, activities, involvements we may participate in 2024. In a little while, our chairman of the board, chairman of the Board of Trustees, will present to us the proposed church budget for 2024. And 2 weeks from now, we will vote for approval. That's according to our constitution and bylaws. Several years ago, some church members have declined their nomination to the Board of Trustees. It's not because they are not capable. It's because they did not want to participate in the leadership ministry. Why? Because they did not want to attend the Board of Trustees meeting. I heard that some time ago before we came, Board of Trustees meeting would even come until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Because they cannot decide. Accordingly, the Board of Trustees meeting had consumed several hours of their time. And they might have thought, those people, that those who declined their nomination, they might have thought that it's a waste of time for them to spend time in those long hours of meeting. You know what? Someone observed in the past few years that the Board of Trustees meeting has been shortened as compared in the past. And thank you. Thank you for your prayers. And I pray, continue to pray for our church leaders. They can only, by the grace of God, endure and enjoy the demand of leadership responsibilities. Keep praying. You remember our board of trustees, church leaders, ministry leaders. If you remember them, just say a prayer. Lord, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's in this person. Just bless him. Bless him overflowingly, that he may have overflowing thankfulness in his, in her heart. It's by grace of God that our church leaders serve the Lord in this church with peaceful joy in their hearts. Those who declined the nomination proved that church leadership is really, really challenging, because only by the grace of God our church leaders can serve in the church. Individually, we often, all of us, we endure unpleasant situation. We seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit also. Ask the Lord to fill you with joyful peace as proof of stronger relationship with Christ. Even when you don't know what may happen, but you sense that joyful peace, that's the Holy Spirit assuring you, I'm in control of this situation. Don't worry, my son, my daughter. Together, let's take this time to pray for our church leaders so that they may gladly serve the Lord and wisely make decisions that brings glory to the Lord in their life and in this church. We also ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit even when we are unaware. Shall we stand up? Let's pray. Let's pray for our church leaders and for ourselves as well.